this house is absolutely home. I feel a kindred spirit in this house because of your heart towards the Lord and your openness to the things of the kingdom of God. I do. I love this man of God and his passion for the Lord. And I was saying to the intercessors as well last night, you've got to know what you have. Everybody doesn't have what you have. And you can be so close to it that you think that you can find it anywhere.
Right.
You can't find it anywhere.
Right.
And so you got to make sure that you honor and you respect and you commit yourself to the vision and to the house, because it's not everywhere. I do a lot of travel. I'm in a lot of different places. It's not everywhere.
That's right.
It's also not everywhere that everybody can take the revelation of the word of God
right.
at the level that you are. There are many places I speak that God holds me back from being able to release revelation because they're not ready to eat at that level.
Right.
Did you know God don't feed you past your ability to handle it?
Right.
And every time I'm in this house, you are pulling and it just flows. So I know that this is a house full of revelation.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And so as a result of that, thank God for that. Be grateful for that. I promise you, you need to. Always be grateful for that. I do thank Patty. She is my sister, my blessed sister. She is after the heart of God. And she's been tugging on me about, can you come and do something for the prayer, all that. She don't let me go. But we're joined at the hip, amen. So I thank you so much for being here. I believe this is a little setup. I was just telling my wife on the way here that I'm going to be able to, over the next four sessions here, actually three for you guys, all of you, to be able to unpack something that God has been dealing with me for probably close to 12 months now. And it's been a progression, and we've gotten to a place that I will be able to release a lot of it to you at one time. And hopefully that when you leave out of here Sunday, you will never be the same.
Come on.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
You will never be the same. So what I want you to do with me is you can. I don't want you to lock in tonight and think you got the whole revelation.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be a progression this weekend. So it's going to be tonight and tomorrow night. It's going to be a progression of things. And then Sunday, we might have to get a new roof. We might have to get a new roof. Praise God. We're going to do some things on Sunday that is phenomenal. I'll give you real quick a taste of Sunday so that you will change your schedule if you have to. There is a very good friend of mine right now that is actually just left the White House, but has been traveling around the country. And the reason why they're traveling around the country is because in Dalton, Georgia, there is a Bible that has been secreting oil for over 18 months now, filling up containers, 5-gallon containers of oil coming out of this Bible. Praise God. And this oil is getting people healed, delivered, and all of that. You have in here tonight a young lady that is sitting right there who went to a meeting that Pastor Johnny came to Michigan and got prayed for with this oil and was healed of lupus within the last month. Is that right? Right. Yeah. Which within the last month, she was healed of lupus like that. Seen people delivered from homosexuality and everything. And so Pastor Johnny just left Washington and gave President Trump some oil. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, I brought oil with me. Hallelujah. I got oil. I got oil, and we gonna soak y'all down on Sunday at a level that, amen, glory to God. We're going to get real greasy in here.
Come on.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that all right? We're going to just, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. We're going somewhere. So amen. So, again, thank you for opening up the house. I'm going to walk you through this progression, and I believe that it's going to take us somewhere. We're going to be freed from where we are so we can go to where we need to be. By the way, let me ask you this last question. How many of you are ready to function fully in the kingdom? Okay. You see that? Yeah. And isn't it interesting? Watch this. Isn't it interesting we can say yes to that? Which means we're not fully functioning in it? Did you catch what I just said? We can say, yes, I want to, meaning we aren't. And it's time for us to. Do you know the world is waiting to find us? And we've been hidden in the church. We've been hidden inside of the walls. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir in many cases with you guys, but still, that's where we've been, and we've got to get outside of here and do something. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I'm asking you that, as we've already prayed, that you would now bless us in your word, that we would understand how to advance the word of God in our lives, and that we would be able to do things that we've never been able to do before. I thank you, Lord, that though the scriptures are scriptures we're used to and we've heard before, I'm asking you, sir, that you would breathe on them afresh so that we would be able to connect the dots and go to a place that we haven't gone so far. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put my peepers on for a minute. Is that all right? Go with me to Exodus, if you will, please. Go with me to Exodus chapter 19. And I'm going to start there. I actually could start this message from Genesis 1, but I'm going to go right there to Exodus 19. And we're going to jump in here with both barrels. Now, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt now, and they are in Rephidim at Mount Sinai. And God has said to them, to Moses, go and tell them what I'm requiring of them. Go and let them know what I want from them. I want them to be my people, right? I want them to be my people. I want them to be a peculiar treasure unto me. I want them to be holy. Amen. Amen. I want them to be, watch this word, because this is the whole crux of this. I want them to be a kingdom of priests. I want them to be a kingdom of priests. Now, for a long time, I've been preaching on the priesthood and making sure people understand who they are as priests. Because most of us have heard that language, we are a royal priesthood. But most of us are not functioning under our position. We have a position that we're not functioning under. We hear the language and we say, yay, 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 but now I need to do the work, and now we won't do the work. Priests have to stand for people who can't stand for themselves. Did you hear that? So if I'm not standing for someone who can't stand for themselves, if I'm not carrying someone's issues to God, who can't get to God, then I'm not being a priest. You see, it's interesting because in the church, we will tell somebody who's not even saved, you need to pray about it. Uh-huh. Are y'all with me?
Come on.
All right. For what? Let me ask you again. Why would they be praying about it? It can't go nowhere.
Right.
Okay, this is going to be hard, huh? Let me come down here for you. I see y'all doing that. I remember that now. That's the Rochester Amen. Right. You're doing Rochester Amen right there. Okay, yeah. So get this with me. A sinner's prayer don't get through unless they're praying what?
Repentance.
Once they pray the prayer of repentance, now they can get through. Yes. Before that, it's no need. They need a priest. They need an intercessor, which is a priest. They need a priest to pray for them. And so we've messed up the world a lot of times and told them that they could pray. We haven't allowed them to understand that this is an exclusive thing here. Amen. That prayer is only for the family.
Come on. Wow.
Prayer doesn't belong to anybody outside of the family. Because he's Father.
Come on.
He's brother Jesus. Come on, hello somebody. We're one in him. If you're outside of the family, he can't hear you. He can't allow you to come into his presence because he would have to deal with you. So his mercy says, I won't let you there until you repent. So when you find out somebody have a need, you found out about their need so that you could do something about it for them.
Yeah.
Now, see, the deal is, though, you can also tell them when they see that it worked when you pray that now there's a way for you to do this on your own and you don't have to get to me.
Yeah.
All you need to do is come by way of Christ the way I came and you can pray for yourself and you don't need anybody to pray for you. Come on. But they at least you see that it works. So the thing is, you got to understand is when somebody starts sharing their problem with you, they're not sharing their problem with you just to release the problem into the atmosphere. They're sharing their problem with a priest to do something about it. Every problem you ever hear somebody talk about to you as a priest of the Lord is for you to do something about it. You see, and what we've been doing is thinking that, oh, wait, you need some prayer. You need to go and pray about it. Let me go talk to my pastor. Why? Right. Your pastor is a priest too, just like you.
Right.
The other thing that has messed us up is the fivefold. The fivefold messes up royally because we think the fivefold is greater than the priesthood. I am a priest that's been given a fivefold position. Hello. It has function, great function. Glory to God, I'm a pastor. Come on, bishop, whatever you want to call me. That's all that means is work. Everybody want that, all that authority and nice. That's work, man. You don't want all that work. But you are a priest on your job. I'm always way ahead of y'all.
Come on.
You're a priest on your job, and you got to function like that.
Yes.
You see? You got to realize that everybody there belong to you.
Right.
Verse 11. Go to verse 11 since we get into Exodus 19. Did y'all get all that out of turn?
Come on.
I got all that out of turn too. Go to verse 11. Look at what it says. Look at what it says in verse 11. This is going to be good tonight. We're going to have some fun. I got to show you this in several pages though. He says, and be ready against tomorrow. God says, I'm going to come down on the mountain. I'm going to come down onto the mountain. Tell them I'm coming down on the mountain and I'm going to show them who I am. But when I come, he says, on the third day, he says, the third day, for the third day, the Lord will come down into the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai, and thou shall set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself, lest you go not into the mount, or touch the borders of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sound is long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. You see what happened? Do you see what happened? God said, I want them to prepare themselves for my coming. Okay, now watch. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go real quick. We're going to go through some scripture real fast. I've got a lot to tell you in a short period of time. By the way, what time do I end? Okay, all right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. I want you to go right there. You there? I'm reading out the King James, by the way. I told him last night I'm reading out the King James because that's the only acceptable version in North Carolina. There is no other acceptable version. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Haran, watch this, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my voice, listen to this, that they may learn to do what? To fear me, when? All the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach their children what? The fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment. I want you to think about that for a second. How many of us are teaching our children the fear of the Lord?
Come on.
Come on. How many of our children would understand the reverence of God?
Right.
We don't even touch that with a 10-foot pole to teach our children how to fear our God. Come on. Hello, somebody. It says, and it came, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven. He says, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land, whether you go over to possess it. My God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Come on. I'm taking you fast. I know I am, but I got so much. I also told my wife, I said, over these several days, I've got over 20 pages of notes. I said, if I get past three of them, I'm going to be shocked. So I'm trying to beat myself. I'm trying to go past three, at least. Watch now. Watch. Chapter 5. Watch this. Verse 22 says, these words the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of the tribes and elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he liveth. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall surely die. Well, that's unfounded. They had already heard his voice and lived. But now they said, if we hear it again, watch what they say. They said, for who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of the words when they spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever.
Come on.
My. Are y'all reading the scripture with me?
Yep.
You know, sometimes just reading the Bible is good by itself. You don't need no commentary. But watch this. I want you to grab hold of something. This is what I call the Sinai pattern. Please write that down. The Sinai pattern. The Sinai pattern is this. You go and hear from God for us. Come back. Tell us what he said. And we will do it.
Right.
But we're not going to hear ourselves. The Sinai pattern. Please hear me. Please hear me, body of Christ. Functions every week in the Church of Jesus Christ today.
Yep.
This same pattern is this exact same pattern that's functioning. We have paid professionals,
right,
who we want to go and hear from God while we do whatever else in our life.
Come on.
Come on, we want to do. Come on, hello somebody.
Come on.
We want a vacation. We want to do what we want to do. We want to take care of all our stuff at home, our children. And we want to come to church on Sunday. And we say, hey, Mr. Paid Professional. Hey, Miss Paid Professional. Tell us what God told you this week.
Yeah.
And whatever God told you this week, we're going to do it. And we're lying just like they were lying.
Come on.
We're only going to do the part we like. We're definitely not going to do the part we don't like.
Right.
I ain't getting no help from y'all. Yeah. God said, they all shall know me.
Yes.
He changed this thing. Remember, he said, they all shall know me from what? The least of them to the greatest of them shall they know me. You won't have to teach every man his neighbor saying, know the Lord. Is that right? So then if that is the case, he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. Come on, somebody. That, watch this, that draws out of the one who we have in front of us as a leader. It draws out of them another level that they wouldn't even get to unless we were after God with them. You, in many cases, the body of Christ hinders us from getting all we could get from God to give out because they aren't going after God themselves. Paul said it clear. He says, when you should be teachers, I have to treat you like you are babies and give you milk. Come on. I can't feed you with meat because you can't take it.
Come on.
And I'm talking not to Rochester. I'm talking to the body of Christ. The majority of the church is at home doing their own thing. They don't have an active prayer life. They're not in the word on an active level. They don't care. Come on. Hello, somebody. Maybe this ain't the right place tonight. I'm in the right place.
Come on.
Come on, y'all. Come on. You got to get this.
Yeah.
I challenge our church. I always challenge. I've got people in my church. I say to them, this just one time, listen, I'm not even asking for a whole lot, but I said just one time a month, at least one time a month. I don't want you to do it just one time a month. I want you to be with God every day if you're supposed to. I said, but give him 5 hours uninterrupted. Give him 5 hours uninterrupted. I mean, nothing in between you and him for 5 hours.
Come on.
Then text me on my phone and tell me you did it. Oh, hallelujah. I get texts all the time from folks that, hey, I just spent my 5 hours. I say, amen. That's all I'm going to say to you. I ain't saying good, dead or boy, nothing else. Amen. Good. Go. Keep going. 5 hours uninterrupted. That means you got to cut yourself away from your world. You got to cut yourself away from your world. You do. And I see, and why would I challenge somebody to that is because of the fact that, watch this, God doesn't let me get away with it either. He doesn't say because you got some title on your name or you over this people or that people that you got to pass. No, you got to spend yours also.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I'm up most mornings. We're on sabbatical with our prayer line right now, but I'm up most mornings at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock actually. And there are many mornings God wake me up at 3. And I have to tell him, don't you know I'm getting up in an hour? He doesn't care. See, there's some time when God wakes you up and you can't go back to sleep. You fight to try to go to sleep. You don't get up. And please don't lay there and pray. You know what that's going to do, right? Yo, that's going to put you right. The devil going to put you to sleep if nobody else put you to sleep. Come on. One. So I get up. I'm up 5 in the morning. Go back to bed around 8 o'clock in the morning if I want to. If my wife don't have a honeydew on me. But that's 5 hours. But I had to cut away something. I had to. That was sacrifice. Come on. Are you with me? Come on. And so what happens is, why? Because you need to know God for yourself, by yourself. For yourself, by yourself. I'm telling you some stuff here because this was a problem here. By the way, I won't be able to get to it because it's not here in these notes. But didn't God say, don't touch that mountain?
Yeah. Didn't he say anything that touch it, you're going to be stoned through? And then how did Joshua go up the side of that mountain?
Y'all ain't going to help me.
How in the world is Joshua up the side of that mountain? He doesn't supposed to touch that mountain. Why did God even tell Moses, hey, look, Moses, make sure that they don't break through to get to me? He said, no, we set the boundaries like you told us. And they know not to come. We set the boundaries, God. Yeah, wait a minute. God didn't see him set the boundaries? Hello, somebody. God doesn't know if they're breaking through or not. What is that conversation about? God says, his heart is they want to get to me so much that they will violate what I told them to be with me.
Come on.
And Joshua was one of those that said, I don't care what he said. Y'all ain't helping me. I don't care if he said you got to die if you touch it. I'm going up this mountain. I'm going to go as far up this mountain as I can. Moses have to leave him on the side of the mountain. Can't take him all the way to the top. But Joshua's on the side of the mountain waiting for Moses to come back down. Hello, somebody. Oh, y'all not hearing me? And when, come on, you remember when Moses come back down, Joshua said, I hear the sound of war in the camp. He said, no, that ain't war. That's sin. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on, somebody. But he was on the side of the mountain. Answer me this question. How many of us would have been on the side of that mountain?
Come on.
I want you to think about the mountain. The mountain is on fire. The mountain is quaking. It's an earthquake.
Right.
It is an earthquake and the mountain is on fire. It's dark. It's smoke. And it's a trumpet sounding in Hebrew. How many of y'all going on the side of the mountain? Let me show you something. Hebrews, look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Run over there real quick because I got so many places. I got so much things to tell you and I ain't got a whole lot of time. But watch this. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 18. Look at what it says. Look at what it says. It says, for ye are not, okay, and we will come back this way again, but he says, we are not come unto the mount that might be what? Touched, and that burn with fire, nor of blackness, come on, darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, that they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast, look at this, touch the mount, listen to what it says, it shall be what? Stoned or thrust through with a dart. Now watch this. When it says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, come on, preach to me somebody. I what? I exceedingly fear and quake. This is Moses who's already seen the burning bush. This is Moses who had already been up on the mountain. This is Moses. He said this thing was so terrible that I even quaked.
Yeah.
Why would God come at that level of terror and fear? Because they had to represent God to the nations. And they need to know who they were representing. And they needed to make sure that they feared the one that they were representing. They couldn't go to the nations with a hard-hearted, half-hearted attitude about the one they were serving. That's what we've done in the church. We've gone to the world with a half-hearted heart of the one we're serving. So don't nobody in the world believe that he's terrible or fearful, because we're not fearful.
Come on. Come on.
So whatever they're doing, we're doing. Whatever they're saying, we're saying. Whatever they're looking at, we're looking at. Whatever they're listening to, we're listening to. Oh, y'all got to hear me. So there is no fear on us. Why should it be any on them? God said, no, I'm going to make sure you understand who I am. Because you're going to go to these nations and they're pagan. But they need to know the fear of God is on you so that it can come on them. Moses said, man, this was amazing, this fear. And Moses tell them, come on, no, come on, come on. They said, no, you go.
And see, again, that mindset has to change. What would happen? This is not the whole church. This is not all of this church. It's going to be packing here on Sunday. I know that. So, but watch this. What would happen to this church if just us in the room had a dedicated,
come on,
committed time with God,
come on,
daily?
Come on.
What would happen when we come together?
Come on.
What kind of service would be there then? Wow, what kind of miracles? Watch this. I'm gonna fast forward you a little bit, but we're not seeing enough. Look, we had phenomenal work. That was come on. Yvonne, where is she? Her name Yvonne, what's her name? Yeah, my sister's name Yvonne. I thought that was right. That girl can sing. Can I take her? I'll pay you for it. she's serious right there. She's got a voice. Great heart, I could tell. Worship, going after God. We were worshiping like a rascal in here. But guess what's happening? This is what I'm telling you. There are not enough angels showing up in our worship. There's not enough angels showing up in our worship. I'm not talking about that you think you saw something. I'm not talking about what you thought you saw something. I'm talking about him manifesting and standing there and enjoying the worship, and you not stop worshiping because an angel showed up. You keep worshiping because he just came to serve you, and you're not worried about him being here. You're not amazed that he showed up. He's supposed to show up.
Come on.
Why? The people of God are in the place. The inheritance of the kingdom is in the house. They got to come. They got to show up. We're not seeing enough of that. Because fear is not here yet.
You got it. Come on. Repeat that, please.
Until we get enough fear, they can't come yet. By Sunday, we're going to be right.
Come on.
Oh, y'all not helping me. Yeah. I said, by Sunday, we're going to be right. I came to get right. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm not as right as... Look, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching at me. I'm just informing you. I'm just telling you. This is for me. This ain't for you. This is for me. This is all for me. Because I've got to get another level. I'm telling God, I've got to have another level. I am not at the place that I'm supposed to be. There is so much more I'm supposed to have. Come on. It has nothing to do with the title and preaching and the ability to preach. It has to do with the lifestyle. Glory to God. It has to do with what I have apprehended of God. It is the eternal made manifest in this realm. And we haven't brought the eternal out of the eternal into this realm enough. That's all Jesus did, was bring the eternal into this dimension. And we are not bringing the eternal.
Come on.
We've learned the church.
Come on.
And we're real good at it. Because there's no fear. Fear changes everything. 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 My baby daughter is 26 years old now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have five of them. I think if you remember. Five daughters. When they were little girls, we could sit them at a table in a restaurant by themselves, all five of them. And we could sit and have dinner. You and your wife and me and my wife, we could just sit at another table and enjoy our adult conversation while my daughters would sit right there and eat. And people would always come to me and come to my wife and say, how y'all do that? These are little girls. They weren't big girls. They were little girls. They said, how you do that? Because little Johnny was across the restaurant and he was tearing up the restaurant. Y'all ain't gonna help me, nobody. Y'all gotta help me. No, I don't want it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about enough. You haven't been in that restaurant. You haven't been in that restaurant. Okay, it is just, it may be North Carolina restaurants and our children over there. And he just having a, he having a ball running the family.
Right.
Nobody know how to handle him. And here my daughters are sitting there eating, looking at him, eating their stuff. My oldest daughter is the head of the table. She was 6 years older than my next daughter. So she was the head of the table. And so whatever she told them to do, they did. And we're over here eating. And people will ask us, how did you do that?
Huh?
It was no phone. Yeah, it wasn't no phones then. That's right. I told them, I said, I'm the heavyweight champion of the world. And they would look at me like, what do you mean? I got the belt.
Yeah.
I got the belt, man. Everybody at that table know I got the belt. They don't have a belt. And if they start a fight, I finish the fight.
Right.
And they don't want me to finish the fight. So they know how to act. Are y'all hearing me?
Come on.
Because we raised our children not for us, but for others. We raised our children so you could enjoy them. Not just so we can enjoy them. But that takes a reverence. Oh, y'all got to hear me. They got to fear something. They got to fear something. They got to know, wait a minute, that guy over there will lose his mind if we start acting up. Hello, somebody. My wife could call me on the phone. If I was away like this and they were not acting like they should, she could call me on the phone, hit the speaker button, says, honey, here they are. I said, okay. When I get home, if my wife tell me that you're still acting like you're acting when I get home, this is your only chance. It will not be good for anybody that she tell on. And you know she's going to tell. And they all will get right. I'm not even there. It was reverence.
Right. Right.
Not because I beat my children. I didn't beat my children. These were girls. I didn't beat them like that. But there was this level. It was the same thing. It's the same thing even now with my grandchildren. My daughters now with their children, they'll come around and my grandchildren go, Pop, there's something wrong with Papa. Papa crazy. And they will try their parents, but they never try me. Because a level of authority.
Yeah. Right.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And I never spanked one of them.
Yeah.
Don't have to. Good. It's a level of authority.
Come on.
That's right. And so what I'm telling you is, if my children know how to act around me because of who I am, the Bible says that we raise our children for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God raises you for your good. Wow. So now how much should I reverence him? Oh, come on, somebody.
Yep.
How much should I honor him? How much should I fear him? I'm trying to get y'all with me.
Come on.
I can't get to my next pieces until you get this. And so the church has to get this in their spirit. And if we get this in our spirit, it will spread. It will spread because nobody have this right here. You know, I talk about it at our church, and I tell my church all the time. I says, I preach so that my church don't grow or something. I don't understand it. Because people don't want to hear this message. They want to hear how to get something.
Come on.
How to get something, how to be something. But they don't want to hear this message. They'll run away from this message. Man, that's too hard. Too hard? What is wrong with you? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Somebody talk to me. I can't hear you. Beginning of what?
Yes,
if we've ever needed wisdom in any generation,
come on.
It's this generation.
Yeah.
We've got to get some wisdom, and we don't have wisdom. That's why everybody seems crazy.
Yeah.
I told the innocents last night, common sense doesn't seem common anymore, does it? Just common sense. So let me show you something. write these down. It's seven things that he told them. And because this is going to be important as we go into, I don't think I'll make it tonight. But watch this. It's seven things. He says, you're going to hear, you can't touch the mountain. He said, the mountain's going to be on fire. He says, it's going to be blackness. It's going to be darkness. It's going to be tempest. It's going to be a sound of trumpet and voice of words. Let me give them to you again. It's going to be, you can't, don't touch. It's going to burn with fire. It's going to be blackness. It's going to be darkness. It's going to be tempest. It's going to be a sound of the trumpet and voice of words. Are you get, you got all seven. Now watch this. Sinai, the encounter at Sinai showed us three things in relationship to God. His majesty, the majesty of God was understood. The other thing that was understood is that he was not approachable. See, he said to them, don't y'all come up here. Y'all with me? Yet Joshua did, didn't he? Okay, let's keep going. I just wanted to put that. But he told them not to come, didn't he? And lastly, his fear, the terror of the Lord. Paul, remember Paul says something? Paul says, we persuade men because we know what? The terror of the Lord. Paul says, we persuade. That's why we persuade men. We don't persuade men just so they can get saved. We know the terror of the Lord. That's pretty serious. Now, all that is where? Where are we dealing? What mountain are we dealing with so far? I can't hear y'all. What mountain are we dealing with so far? Sinai. And did you read in Hebrews where it says, we have not come to? It said, we have not come to Mount Sinai. But watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the church is at Sinai. Most of the church is still dealing with physical things. Could you read down for me for a moment? Go to Hebrews chapter. You stay where you are. Go right down there to chapter 22. Could you read for me? But ye are what? Ah, glory, glory.
Come on.
We've come to what?
Mount Zion.
Wait a minute. Okay, let's get this right now. We have not come to what? Sinai. But we have come to what? Okay, so why is most of the church still at Sinai? Dealing with the physical. What did they say you come to then? You come to Mount Zion. Read. Keep reading for me. To what?
The heavenly Jerusalem.
What else have you come to? City of the living God. Come on. I can hear you. Innumerable company of angels. Keep reading.
Joyful assembly.
The joyful assembly. Come on. Will you say sin over there? The church of the firstborn. Come on. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Come on. Jesus, the what? Mediator of what?
A new covenant.
Okay. So you have not come to a mountain that you can touch, that's fire, burning, darkness, tempest, trumpet, voices, but you have come to.
Yes.
Heavenly Jerusalem. Innumerable company of angels.
Yes.
Blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant.
Yes.
Come on, are y'all with me? Y'all ain't hearing me. Come on, are y'all hearing me? You see what you've come to? Then why are we acting like we've come to that?
Come on.
And if you count them, it's eight of them. Sinai had seven. Zion has eight. Why is that significant? So, Pastor, this is what happened to me. This is where that was my introduction. You think I'm praying? I'm serious. So this is what happened to me. I'm going along, and I've been in back and forth in these areas more than enough times, and the Lord speaks to me almost 12 months ago now and says to me, you're not living in the right day. I said, what? I'm not living in the right day. He said, no, you're not living in the right day. He says, read Hebrews 12. I read Hebrews 12, I write down the list, and then I write down the second list, and I go, my God, it's seven. Seven is completion. Eight is new beginnings. God said to me, you are still functioning as though you were in the seventh day, not the eighth. So I went searching. Genesis chapter 1. Y'all with me so far? Okay, we get ready to go now. Watch. Genesis chapter 1. Every one of the days in Genesis that God created, he closed. He says the evening and the morning was the first day. He said the evening and the morning, the second day. Come on, we know stuff is happening. I ain't dealing with what's happening on each day. The evening and the morning is the third day. The evening and the morning is the fourth day. The evening and the morning is the fifth day. The evening and the morning is the sixth day. And on the seventh day, he sanctified it and set it apart unto himself, for in it he rested. He didn't say on the seventh day that the evening and the morning was the day. Every day before he closed. Every day he closed to open up a new day. But on the seventh day, he doesn't close it. So I'm reading and I'm going, okay, wait a minute. Okay, God, I know I've read it before. I got it to understand, but wait a minute. Why didn't you close the day? And he said to me, you were never to leave it. You were going to rest in that day forever and ever. You were never going to leave the seventh day. You were going to forever live in the day with me of rest, because there was no need for anything like work or any such thing as that. You're going to live in this day of rest with me. So there was no need to close it, because there was no need for a new day.
Come on.
I said, oh my goodness. And then Genesis 3 happened. Genesis 3 happened, and Genesis 3 brings a contamination to the day of rest. Sin shows up in the day of rest. Therefore, there was a need now. Oh, I tell you what, listen, I be done cried all year and all that, and I'm crying. Because this stuff is deep inside of me. Come on. So now's a need for a new day. I says, now's a need for a new day. And from that point in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he points to the new day. He points to the new day, 15 and 16. He tells this woman that she's going to have a baby without the use of a man. Are y'all here with me?
Yeah.
That I'm going to bring forth a child out of your womb, and he's going to what? Crush the head of the enemy, and he's going to bruise his heel. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment, before we even get to even tomorrow and the days after, but I want you to understand that the cross and all that you saw Jesus go through was just a bruising of his heel. You know, you didn't hear what I just told you. That was nothing to him. It was a bruising of his heel. He was crushing head. Now watch. In that moment, when I realized that it was a day that was coming, I said, I've got to find, when did you create it? Because if I'm in the seventh, it had to get closed so that a new day could show up. Do I have everybody following me? Because I don't want to leave you with this point. I want you to grab this point before we go home. So when you understand there was a new day that was needed, I understood it was a new day needed, and somebody had to close out the day that was already here. God started pointing, though. He didn't leave you without pointing. He started pointing. So with Noah, how many souls get saved? I can't get no help from y'all.
8 souls say, oh, by the way, when a baby is born, when are they circumcised? 8th day. Oh, David is which son of Jesse? Okay, I'm just throwing a few things at you. Come on. The Feast of Tabernacles, there is a 8th day of rest after the 7th day of the consecration. There's an 8th day consecration in the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, I can keep going. It ain't nothing but 8s everywhere. And God's pointing 8. Why are you using all these 8s? Well, what we said is new beginnings. Are you with me? So the 7th day had to get closed though, because it's contaminated. And God started pointing to this 8th day thing. I said, God, where is it? He said, oh, well, you know exactly where it is. I showed you a long time ago. He said, what? It. Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on.
It is finished. So in that he was closing that day, what happened? He was opening a new day. And let me tell you how I know he was opening a new day. He had already showed us, because it didn't make sense for this to happen. He was already telling us even before that day that it was a new day coming, because when he was standing there being judged, there was a rooster that crowed.
Yep.
Roosters crow before the day dawn.
Yep.
The rooster won't just showing up, Peter. The rooster was trying to tell you there's another day coming.
Yes.
It was. It put Peter in his place. The rooster put Peter in his place and showed the day. A day is coming that has never been before. And so what we have said out of Psalms 118:24, we've said this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Yes. And I will.
Yes.
Oh my God. We're not talking about a chronological day. We're talking about the day he created. He created a day for me to enter into. Because everything is in Zion. The 8th day represents the Zion experience. And so I don't supposed to be living in the 7th anymore. I don't supposed to be doing 7-day stuff. See, when you think about Sinai and you really go into the desert of Sinai, it looks like most of our churches. They had praise and worship. That's right. Marion wrote a lot of songs. Moses even wrote some songs. Come on. Hello. They worshiped and they had a good time with God. They had manna falling from heaven. You don't even get that in your Sinai. You still got to shop at the grocery store. But God says, no, I want you to live in the 8th day. And I said, oh my God, there is an 8th day experience for me. And why would I get born again and still live in the old way? When he tells me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... That is, he's a new creature. Old things are, behold,
all things.
Come on. What does all things new look like? That's right. What does old things new look like? We won't even press after God for all things new, because we don't understand that they all supposed to be new. We hold on to the old good stuff. He doesn't want you to hold on to any old stuff. He don't want no old good stuff. He don't want no old bad stuff. He don't want no old stuff at all. He wants to do a new thing. Yeah. I'm going to do a new thing. Shall you not know it? That's right. It's a new day. It's a new day. A new and a living way. Here you are walking in your Christianity,
dragging old stuff, asking God to sanctify it.
Come on.
You want God to sanctify your old stuff. And he said, I don't mess with nothing old. Matter of fact, I've left Sinai. I'm not even there anymore. I'm at Zion. We're trying to get you to come to church. Think about this, man.
Yeah, think about it.
We have to try to get you to get to church. You got more stuff to do in your life than to go to church every week. That's Sinai. We can't even get you to Zion. If we had Zion churches, most people would leave them.
Come on.
They would scatter if we function from a Zion mentality. The book of Acts shows you there's a Zion mentality. Come on, people that didn't give an offering right died. Are y'all hearing me?
Come on.
Folk being translated from one place to another place. Glory to God. I don't need an airline ticket. I'm here. Are you checking? We don't look like the Acts Church. We don't. And I'm not against church. I love this. God uses this and will use it even more. But we can't be stuck in this.
That's right.
See, we've got to know how to come together and enjoy one another in this atmosphere and go into our world. And be Zion dwellers in our world. Are you with me? Glory to God. Man, in Brownsville, come on, we got a taste, didn't we?
Amen.
And what happened? People stand outside all day, Pastor. You know you were there in the heat all day. I got up at 6 o'clock in the... No, I didn't. I'm lying. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be in the line at 6. Service didn't start till 7 o'clock. P.M. Y'all ain't hearing me.
Come on.
And when I got out there at 6 o'clock, the line, I was all the way back. It was folk that had already been out there. And we couldn't get in until 7 o'clock p.m. They had a midday thing for pastors and stuff, but then you had to come back out and get back in the line. Y'all. Why? Because God gave us a taste. All these revivals are tastes. To try to draw us, and we make the revival the thing.
You're right. Right.
We put all our stock around the revival, trying to get another revival, rather than getting in there and understanding he just gave us a taste so I could take it home and bring a revival into my neighborhood, bring a revival into my schools, bring a revival on my job.
Yes.
Where are the finish? Where are the finish that shake companies? Why? Because I showed up at work one morning and just asked God to come. And nobody got any work done that day. Why? Because God showed up. Come on. And now I'm the only explanation. So what are you going to do? God shows up on your job. What are you going to do? Get on the phone, call Pastor Richard? Pastor, can you come over here and lead this? No. You got to lead it. You called it. You do it.
Come on.
You become the pastor. Why? Because that's what he wants for us. He wants this new day to come on. Listen, let me tell you something. This is the greatest hour for the church to show up than ever before in human history. I love the darkness because the light shines so bright. I'm not mad at darkness. I'm not cursing it. Because I'm light. I told a lady last night, John Dawson said something one day, standing in a meeting with us. He said, I don't think we need to be cursing the darkness. I think we need to just ask the glory to come. Come on. If we focus on the glory, I don't need to deal with the darkness. I was listening to a lot of, I was listening to a lot of gospel music, and I listened to, and I started tracking how much in gospel music we talk about the devil. We talk about the devil in gospel music almost every song. He gets a tagline in all of our songs. Ain't y'all helping me? Come on. There, you may not say it, but in the black community, there's a famous saying, the devil is a liar. I'm thinking, yeah, he is, but why you got to be talking about it? Come on. I don't need to focus on the devil to get the truth.
Come on.
Oh, but we've been trained to think about the darkness rather than dealing with the light.
Yes.
I'm light. And when light shows up, darkness runs.
Yes.
Darkness moves at the speed of light.
Yes.
Did you know that? Darkness actually travels at the speed of light. Did you know it moved? And I'm trying to tell you, listen to me close. It all happens because the day shows up. It doesn't happen because we just showed up at church and we just call ourselves something. It's because the day shows up. We function out of that day. Out of that day, I am a new being. So all of it, everything new. My money's new. My life new. My relationships new. Everything new. Why am I even approach them like they're the same? I'm going to tell you this and I'm closing. Watch. I looked up. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, Peter started talking about Joel 2.
Right.
Peter started preaching Joel 2. He doesn't go all the way down. You know he doesn't, right? But you go and read Joel 2, and in Joel 2, it starts talking about restoration of how many things? All things. He talks about the restoration of all things. He said everything that the locusts have eaten.
Right.
He said everything that the caterpillar has eaten. Come on. Everything that the palmer worm has eaten. Come on. Huh? All of those... He said that those four people, those four things were, God said, they were my army I sent against you. And they ate up stuff. So that means they've already digested it. And he said, they've eaten it for years. And he said, I'm going to restore it to you.
Come on.
I'm going to restore it. Wait a minute. You're going to restore what they've eaten over years? I'm going to restore it all back to you. I said, wait a minute. That's too good. He said, no, it is not too good. It is who I am, and in this day, all that you have ever lost will be given back to you. What a word. I said, oh, my God, that's what I want. I want that. Now, let me ask you something. How often have we been giving people that? We haven't even been offering them that. Know why? We don't have it. we haven't seen everything restored. So if we haven't seen everything restored, how am I going to offer to somebody else when I don't believe it's going to be restored? I'm talking to somebody.
Come on.
I'm talking to somebody. You got to get this in your spirit. God says, I'm going to restore everything. And then I looked it up, man. I got to look at what a locust could eat. A locust, a swarm of locusts that come into a field eat. Are you ready for this number? 41 million pounds. Just the locust alone. We're not talking about the cankerworm, the palmer worm. We're not talking about them. No, just the locust.
The caterpillar is just as bad. And it says he eats just as much. Can you imagine all that was lost? That God says, I'm going to restore to who? You. That's why Peter grabbed Joel and said, no, it's time now for that to happen. And we're going to make sure that it happens on Sunday. Listen to me close. I told him last night, if you've been sick in your body, do you know what you've lost as a result of the sickness? See, did you just lose mobility or whatever? No, you lost opportunity. Come on. The sickness took some opportunities from you that you didn't even understand were taken from you because of the way your body would function in or couldn't function. Are you with me?
Come on.
Oh, wait a minute. You not only, you lost some money. As a result of this sickness, you had to pay money. Oh, come on. All you got to do is look at the woman with the issue. The woman with the issue had spent all her money. Had went to every doctor. Come on, somebody. See, this is the deal. Jesus is not trying to just get you healed. Amen. That's the beginning of the place. He wants to restore everything you lost as a result of this disease. He's not just trying to get you saved. Come on. He's trying to say, okay, so all that stuff your parents did to you, all that stuff that happened to you in your life, I'm going to give it back. We know that we say that to people, but then we don't function like it. We say that everything in your life has now become new. Man, you got a clean slate. What in the world does that mean? I got a clean slate, but now I've got to suffer from this point. Or I accepted Jesus, but I'm still broke. I still can't make it. Oh, he healed me. But I still can't make it. Pastor Johnny said, when he was talking about it, he said, this is amazing. He said, watch this. Let me tell you something. He said, if I get a man saved under the bridge and he got to go and live back under the bridge, how does that prove that God is great?
Right.
That didn't prove that God was great. He got saved. You felt good. He got saved. Where is his house? I'm right now working in conjunction with a team of people that's moving 100 homeless. It's from homeless to homeowner. 100 people from homeless to homeowner. That's restoration. That's restoration, man. That's what somebody want right there, man. I want my home. I want a house. I don't want to be under this bridge. I don't want to be on this bench. That's the kingdom. Am I talking to the right people? So watch this. So in closing, really, listen. There is a day. And what I need you to do over the next couple of days as I unpack this day for you, more and more, I'm unpacking this day. What you got to understand is that there's a day for you to live in that you most likely haven't even touched yet. That we've gotten glimpses of it, but haven't lived in it. I'm ready to live in my time. Hello, I'm ready to live in this. I've got to live in this. This has got to be my time. It's got to be my day. And again, when we start living in this day, the world won't know what to say. They won't know how to handle us. Right now, they know what to say and know how to handle us because they know the seventh day. They know it just as well as we do, but they don't understand this day because this is the day the Lord has made. And I tell you what, there is nothing but rejoicing in this day. There is nothing but fullness of joy in this day. There is nothing but salvation and increase in this day. There is no failure, no lack, nothing in this day. Nothing but the greatness of God is in this day. Jesus is preeminent in the day. Glory to God. And everybody that come around me get affected by me in the day, not me being affected by them. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Is this making any sense so far? Okay, again, as I told you, I'm nowhere near where I'm going, but I got to get you on the road with me. So now you know where I'm thinking. Now you know where I'm dealing with, right? So from this point, you know how to pray with me. Glory to God. We're going to make this day a day that everybody in this church, anybody come around you, can get.
Because guess what? There are blessings in this day for your family. Amen. That's why you're saved. Did you know you got saved so the rest of your family could get saved? You realize your salvation was so that God could get to everybody else. He didn't get you saved so you can just enjoy it for yourself. He got you saved for everybody else in the family. Everybody in the family is supposed to come to know the Lord. Matter of fact, watch this. Again, I'm working with another young man that died four times. Four. Was resuscitated four times by four different doctors. Saw Jesus four times. Saw hell twice. Came back, told his family everything he saw. Saw them while he died. When he was dead, and they had to cover his head. He told them what they were doing in the hospital rooms. Listen to me close. This is not somebody that was rich or had money or lived in an affluent neighborhood. He lived in the heart of the ghetto. His brother was an agnostic until he told him that he saw him in the hall crying when he died. How did you see me when you were dead? I was with Jesus. So there is a Jesus. Absolutely. And you better get to know him. His entire family has come to know Christ as their Savior. He's blind. God didn't even give him his sight back. He's still blind. But everybody around him saved. His mother sold out for Jesus. His mother says, there is nothing the Lord would tell me that I don't do. Why? Because I've seen him work in my son.
Amen.
Wow. See the level of dedication in that? I'm going to do anything he told me. So we're actually trying to put together a documentary so that everybody can see this story. It's an amazing story. But the whole family got saved. God didn't bring him back. God didn't bring him back so he could just live. He brought him back so everybody could get to heaven with him. Come on. And now not only will his family get saved from his story, it's going to be other folk that didn't even know him that's going to get saved from his story. Why? Because we're going to be able to tell his story in such a way that it's going to be so compelling, especially those in the hood, especially those that are hard-hearted. Because these people, listen to me close. This is an inner-city ghetto word. They were ratchet. That mean that ain't good. But God saved this boy out of that thing. And now they know that there is a God. And nobody can tell them otherwise. Because this man has looked him in his face. He's a young man. Looked him in his face. And Jesus said, no, I'm sending you back because you got work to do. Wow. Nobody. See, again, the other thing is, again, watch this. This oil we got. This oil is coming from a Bible. Do you understand? Can't no Bible produce oil? Do you understand that this book can't produce any oil? There is nothing, no properties in here that can produce any oil. And this thing, this Bible inside of this oil, we'll show it to you tomorrow night. Show you a picture of it. This Bible in the oil, haven't lost any of its integrity. This Bible, the markings, the highlight markings, yellow and pink and all of that, green, still in there just like they just was put in there. Pencil. That was written in the book, still in there. His name is Jerry. Young man. And what happened is it came out of a prayer meeting. And God just started soaking that Bible with oil. And all these people have been getting changed and saved and delivered. And do you understand a book like this can't produce oil? My nephew is he wants to be a thug. a thug. So my nephew wants to be a thug. He's not a thug, but he's got, we call him a thug wannabe. So I took some of the oil to my sister's house, and I told them the story, and they looked it up online, and they were looking at it, and I was telling them the story. And I said, so take some of this oil, and I'm going to anoint you. Bro, what? My nephew said, no. I said, bro, come on, wait a minute. You can't be a thug and scared of a little bit of oil. See, that's what's supposed to happen. The world should be afraid. My sister took the oil and smeared him down anyway. She said, sit here, you're going to get this. That's right. But the world should know what to do with us. They know what to do with us right now. They should know what to do with us. It's supposed to be so many miracles, supernatural things happening around us that they can't explain them. There's no explanation for it. Because we live in a day they've never been in, and nor can they get in. We can go into their day. Jesus said something that really amazed me in St. John chapter 10. It used to always amaze me. He said, they shall go in and out of me and find pasture. That means I can actually go into the seventh day and live all I want. Got to labor on my own, though. But when I'm in here, I don't have to labor at all. It's rest. You learn something tonight? Real quick, yell out to me. What did you learn? I didn't talk to me. What did you say? New day. Come on, somebody else tell me. Huh? You're in Zion. In Zion. What else you learned? Fear of the Lord. Come on, restoration. What else? Come on. Huh? Joy. Yes, right. Unspeakable. Joy on the Lord is mine. Yes, ma'am. What'd you say? It's not just about you. It is finished. Oh, my God. Look it up. Did you look it up on Google already? Most people do. When I say that, they go. It's true. Darkness moves at the speed of light. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am. Eighth day, new beginning. Living in eighth day, the new beginnings. Living that day. Yes, ma'am. Okay, huh? Talking about my belt. I don't have to use my belt no more. Yes, right. We're not in Sinai anymore. We're in Zion. We live in Zion. It's a Zion reality. Yes, sir. Unity in and outside of church. Exactly. We haven't scratched the surface. Glory to God. Amen. I think you might were listening a little bit. Praise God. What I just did with you, I do every Sunday with my church. I don't let them leave without asking them, what did they learn? Because I don't want them to walk out the door thinking I think they got it. I want to know that they got it. And they now they're accountable to it. Amen. Thank you, sir.